This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning and a special good morning to Mahua Moitra, first time Trinamool Congress MP. More on that after we have wished a good morning to Prime Minister Modi for finally acknowledging Nehru as great and even quoting him. As for the rest of his speech, well, nothing new, nothing at all, except it sounded like an election campaign speech and it had only one thing written all over it: the undying obsession with the Gandhis. Replying to the motion of thanks to the President's address, the Prime Minister divided his speech that went beyond an hour into three parts. First, withering criticism of the Congress, an iteration of the achievements of his government, and then the generous praise for the first Prime Minister of India for showing the world that duties take precedence over rights. To quote him, "So busy were they can only mean the Congress, with delusions of soaring high that they forgot to remain rooted to the ground. They thought anyone on the ground is lowly and dirty. We have no such desire to soar. We are happy, grounded, rooted, and with our people." Modi firmly denied the charge of not crediting past governments. He said that at least on two occasions in his address to the nation from the Red Fort, he had talked about contributions of all governments since independence, and he charged the Congress with not giving credit to anyone outside the family. And then there was an interesting paragraph that Modi quoted about rights versus duties from the only one who had the temerity, vision, and the guts to say it as it is. Of course, we're talking about Nehru. "The biggest lesson to the world from India is that here, duties come first. From these duties emerge the rights. In today's world, everyone talks about their rights and conveniences. Hardly anyone talks about duties. This is the reason for the friction in the world. It is true that we fight for our rights, but if we forget our duties, these rights will also not remain with us." The Prime Minister quoted Nehru, India's first Prime Minister, in the Lok Sabha. Well, where was the duty when the Gujarat riots were happening? Well, okay, he wasn't the Prime Minister then. But where is the duty when your MPs and MLAs heckle Muslim leaders, and when your own party members and your parent organization, the RSS, and its various children embolden and encourage lynchings and murders of Muslim men? Or when they ask Muslim men to shout Jai Shri Ram and then mercilessly beat them up? Yes, there has been another case, this time in West Bengal, where another Hindutva body's men beat up a Muslim teacher of a madrasa for not saying Jai Shri Ram. So, dear Prime Minister, your words are hollow, unlike Nehru's, unless, of course, I've missed a message from you asking your and RSS's men to stop hatred targeted especially against Muslims. And now, coming to the speech that you won't see in your newspapers today, because it speaks more truth per word than does all major English daily per square centimeter. Well, when she's not fighting the Modi government's information and broadcasting's plans of snooping on us via social media, then Moitra is speaking the truth to the government. While speaking during the debate on the motion of thanks to the President's address in the Lok Sabha, Moitra listed seven dangerous signs that suggest that country is being torn apart. Moitra referred to a poster in the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum containing a list of all the signs of early fascism. "Each of seven signs I have pointed to you featured in that poster," she said, as several opposition members and at least one BJP ally thumped their desks in the House. The first sign: there is a powerful and continuing nationalism that is being spread into our national fabric. It is superficial, it is xenophobic, it is narrow. It has a lust to divide. In a country where ministers cannot produce degrees to show that they graduated from college, you expect dispossessed poor people to show papers as proof that they belong to this country. well, in case you missed the punch, that was targeted at Modi and Smriti Irani, who have dubious degree records. Now coming to the second sign. There is resounding disdain for human rights that is permeating every level of governance. There has been a tenfold increase in the number of hate crimes between 2014 and 2019. 10x. This is like the valuation of an e-commerce startup, sir. The third sign. There is an unimaginable subjugation and control of mass media today. Five of the largest news media organizations in India are today either indirectly controlled or indirectly debted to one man in this country. TV channels spent a majority of airtime broadcasting propaganda for the ruling party. Coverage of every opposition party is cut out. The fourth sign. The government and religion are now intertwined in this country. Do I even need to speak about this? Need I remind you that we have redefined what it means to be a citizen? With the NRC and the Citizenship Amendment Bill, we are making sure that there is only one community that is the target of anti-immigration laws. The sixth sign. It is the most dangerous. There is complete disdain for intellectuals and the arts. There is repression of all dissent. Funding is being cut for liberal education and scientific temperament. And number seven, the last sign. There is an erosion of independence in our electoral system. The Election Commission was used to transfer key officials. Rupees 60,000 crore was spent in this election. 50% by just one party. That is rupees 27,000 crore by the BJP. And before we head to international news, well, Rajya Sabha MP Derek O'Brien of TMC yesterday alleged on a big allegation on Facebook that Facebook had helped the Bharatiya Janata Party in the recent general election by blocking out anti-BJP content. Now, Facebook's senior management in India are de facto campaign managers for the BJP. O'Brien alleged on the floor of the house, making it a very, very serious allegation. He also continued to say that Facebook censored anti-BJP news and put other parties with jeopardy. And I say this with all responsibility, the Facebook algorithm censors anti-BJP content. And with that, we head to international news, where threats and counter-threats continued between Iran and the US, where the Iranian and US presidents have traded insults, with Hassan Rouhani suggesting that Donald Trump suffered from a mental disorder, and Trump once more threatening Iran with obliteration. And we have more left to tell you about. Denmark has become the third Nordic country this year to form a leftist government after the Social Democratic Party leader Mette finally finalized terms for a one-party minority government. Aged 41, she becomes the country's youngest ever prime minister. Before I bid my goodbyes to you for the day, as I say this, protesters are beginning to gather outside the US consulate in Hong Kong with signs asking President Donald Trump to liberate Hong Kong. The protesters plan to visit 19 members of the G20, excluding China, of course. They're hoping these G20 members will be able to put pressure on China during the summit in Osaka. On that note, I wish you a very productive day ahead. Until tomorrow, goodbye from TakeApart.com.